Our reading is from 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of human and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so to do remove mountains and to not have love, I have nothing. If I give away all of my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, but is not irritable. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put an end to childish things. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. But then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love remain. These three, the greatest of these is love. Word of God, word of life.
Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, to open our minds to your word today, but maybe more than that, to open our hearts, that we may hear your heart, that we might be led by the heart of your Spirit in all things. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. I can't tell you how many times I've preached on this passage. Seems like almost every wedding and even some funerals I've used. In fact, this past week I did a funeral for somebody that I thought reflected a lot of these qualities. And I use this passage for their funeral. But when I come to this, you know, the Corinthians, they're having this hard time. And Paul's preaching into this division that they have, right? And right before this passage, he's talking about how everybody is created differently and they respond to the Holy Spirit differently. And yet it all comes together, and he uses that image of a body, and we're all different parts of the same body, right? And he says you come together as the church and you have to respect one another and care for one another, and that's where the unity is it's in Christ, as we all take our place as part of the body of Christ. And as he's talking to them through their divisions and their judgment of one another and everything else, that's where he starts speaking of love in this passage. But as I read it to speak it into it today, it hit me differently, because I was like, am I a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal? I mean, because part of what I do in preaching, it's prophesying. It's calling people back to the way of God as called in Scripture, and then like forecasting, we keep going the way we're going, how that's going to go. That's a large part of preaching. And my aspirations are often towards these things, to understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith. That's what I aspire to. But it says you can have all that and be nothing. It was heavy on me. Because those are the things that I aspire to. And I don't know that I love in this way. Now, don't get me wrong. I love this church. I care deeply about the future of this church and the well-being of this church. But as I deal with individuals in this church, I don't know that I've always been loving in this way. I haven't always been patient. Sometimes I insist in my own way. Sometimes I can be kind of aggressive with my viewpoint. Sandy gave a big cheer on that one at the first service. Have I always been loving in the way that Paul talks about here? When I first came to the church, I was struggling because we were doing a lot of funerals, or I was doing a lot of funerals. And I kept running into this where people wanted to have their funerals at funeral homes rather than in the church. And I didn't understand, especially coming from a Catholic childhood. It's like, well, why would you have a funeral in a funeral home? You know, you've been in church, this person's been in church for 70, 80, 90 years. And you're going to have the funeral at a nursing home, or not a nursing home, but a funeral home and not a church? And I found myself expressing that, especially to Pastor Dan. And some of the people gave different ideas about it. They said, well, every time I go to church, I don't want to be thinking about the funeral. Or they say, well, you know, most of their friends have died, and there may not be that many people. And then Pastor Dan's mother died, and he did it in a funeral home. And I was like, oh, maybe I was a little harsh with that, especially I've been talking to Pastor Dan all along, and that was his mother's wish. I don't know. There was this one time that I was asked to do a funeral for a woman's father, and she shared that he really didn't believe. He kind of put down the church and all that stuff. I didn't do the funeral. And I thought later, maybe should I have taken the opportunity to minister to the family and those who did believe around him? Should I have done it differently? I mean, this passage says you can be right and still be wrong. Right? You can think you got all the answers, but we know only in part. We understand only in part. I mean, I'm trying my best, Lord, but I don't know that I always know. Right? In same-sex unions, I came to this church on the conservative side of it. I didn't think the church was ready yet. And I came into this after all the schism and all that. And along the way, I've been asked to do a few same-sex blessings. And I kind of hid behind the skirts of the church. I said, well, you know, this church has been through it all. And their kind of decision in it was to... Now, I wasn't mean about it. In fact, I helped them find a pastor who were doing that thing, other church. But one couple... They were even taking on a child who was their brother's child who was born addicted. And I'm reading through this passage, and I'm saying, you know, wouldn't God bless two souls expressing commitment and love to one another to the extent where they're taking on what will obviously be a very difficult child's upbringing. Wouldn't God bless that? And I know all the passages, you know, Romans 1 and Numbers and all that, but I also know that you can make an argument for slavery in the Bible. You make arguments for all sorts of stuff out of the Bible. And I know also the other passages. I mean, Peter sets aside the law, the culinary law, the kosher laws, because he's given this dream where a sheet comes down and says, God says, you know, whatever I've made pure is pure. Who are you to say it's not good enough? Go minister to Cornelius, a bunch of pagans. I know that Paul in Galatians says, you know, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. There's no more this Gentile and Jew. There's no more slave or free. There's no more male and female. I did a whole paper on it in seminary. And I know Jesus says when he's asked about, remember that story about this woman who's married to seven different guys and they each one die? I don't know what she's doing that kills them all off, but there you go. So each of them dies and they say, well, whose wife is she in heaven? And Jesus says, well, you know, in heaven there's no more marriage. You're not given a marriage, but you're like the angels in heaven. What does that mean? I don't know. I don't have full understanding. And I'd like to have all understanding, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and have all faith, but I know only in part, even though sometimes I act differently. I almost feel like it's part of the job to say, let me tell you what the answers are. I'll tell you how to do it. Truth is, I only know a part. And I don't always get it right. And sometimes after the fact, I go, missed it there. I'm sorry if any of my hubris affected any of you. I'm sorry if there were times where I misunderstood, as much as my intent is to do it right. I've always been kind of, I believe in tough love sometimes, that you have to set boundaries and you don't keep consequences from people because sometimes they have to do that. But I don't always get it right. And I count on the mercy of God. I trust in it when Jesus gets on the cross and he says, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Maybe that's me sometimes. Right? I don't know how it is for you, but it's how it is for me. So I'm still finding my way on some stuff and some tough stuff, and as we all are. But I trust in the grace of God. And so can you. Amen.